So you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody, or you're nobody.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
It's time to just look under the hood. No stone should be unturned.
I don't even know what that means. Look under, I got an engine underneath my hood.
The most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from.
Hey, pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Welcome to the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood.
Welcome to the Under the Hood Podcast. I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for being with me. The Under the Hood Podcast is brought to you by ID Plus Marketing Solutions, advertising specialties, embroidery, silk screening. Call Fred. He always needs a friend. Call Fred, 219-677-5800. 219-677-5800. Ask for Fred or go to the website. See for yourself, idplus.biz. idplus.biz, where you can find Fred and ID Plus. They support us, so we want you to support them. You need some for a t-shirt, a tchotchke, keychains, whatever you need, ID Plus has it. Tell them Jonathan Hood sent you. He'll be glad to hear from you. Our guest for the Under the Hood podcast is Candace Parker, Chicago's own. Candace Parker went to Naperville Central High School. She played for Pat Summitt at Tennessee for all 4 years between 2004 and 2008. She's in the WNBA. She's been with the Los Angeles Sparks since 2008 and is a WNBA champion and a three-time gold medalist. I talked to Candace Parker way early in my career, years ago when she was in high school. She'd bring her parents in and we'd talk about how great she was, because even in high school, she was a great, great basketball player. And now she's part of not only the WNBA, but in her offseason, she's working for Turner. You can catch Candace Parker each week on NBA TV's Game Night, Monday presentations leading into an exciting slate of NBA action. She works with Shaquille O'Neal and Baron Davis and Chris Webber on Players Only as well. That's always fun. So not only is she a great basketball player, a soon-to-be Hall of Famer, but also has turned into a really solid broadcaster for Turner Sports. So Candace Parker, we talk a lot about her life, about what's going on for her right now, what she wants to accomplish, as she's been, again, in the WNBA for a long time, but she still has some goals that she wants to set. She also talks a little bit about her life in college and high school, her family, and so much more. Candace Parker on the Under the Hood Podcast. Candace, let's start here. Thanks so much for coming on the show. How's life for you? How's life?
Life is going good. Just in LA, I'm training for the season, just working out, and then also, you know, working in Atlanta for, you know, TNT and NBA TV. And so that's kind of my first off season in 11 years. So it's really nice to be stateside this time of year.
Yeah, you can catch Candace each week on NBA TV's Game Night. Their Monday presentations leading into always some great, exciting NBA games on Monday night on the league's flagship network. You all have a ball. I see you on there on NBA TV, and I love the presentation because, I mean, for years you grew up and I grew up watching all the action taking place in the arena. But I just like the relaxed atmosphere of just being able to take your time, pick it apart from studio, relax, the little anecdotes along with the game. I like it. How do you like the being with that TNT family?
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, I play basketball for a living, so that's obviously to me the best job. And then, you know, secondary is definitely talking about basketball. And then to be basically in the setting that I would be in anyway, you know, what do we do as players? We sit around and watch the TV from our couch. And that's similar to how it is when you're watching it from the studio. You know, you're analyzing the game, and obviously it is a job, but there's a fun aspect to it. And you're able to kind of pick it apart and tell stories and hear things about, you know, other players that you didn't know. And so it's been definitely a learning experience for me, but a lot of fun in the process.
you're having fun, and that's the whole point of it. So I'm an NBA fan, so I'm enjoying it. And on top of that, I'm a Candace Parker fan. Way, way early in my career, when I was working at the Score, you and your family came in studio several times when you were at Naperville Central. It was great talking to you even back then. So what are your fondest memories of high school and being in Naperville Central?
You know, Chicago is a hotbed for, you know, grassroots basketball, AAU, and that's kind of the way that I grew up. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up every weekend we had a basketball tournament, and then during the high school season, it was if I wasn't playing in a game, I was at another game. And so to grow up around that in a place that really loves basketball, it didn't matter what level it was all basketball. And so I just am really thankful for growing up in that environment. And obviously winning two championships at Naperville Central, a school that had never won a championship before for women's basketball, was extremely special. And now I'm hoping to go back and to see them play. I had planned on this weekend, but you know, other things have kept me away, but just, you know, it's really home, and I am a Chicagoan always. I cheer for Chicago sports, and that's how it always will be.
You know, one thing I did not know, obviously watching your career in high school, going to college, I didn't know what other schools were coming that really wanted your services, wanted you to go to their college. You settled on Tennessee, which was great for you as a lady volunteer. But what other colleges did you consider? Because I know there was probably a lot of mail coming in that mailbox.
So my final five was Duke, Tennessee, Texas, DePaul, and Maryland. Those were my final five where I took my official visit to go. Mm-hmm. DePaul, obviously, I grew up watching their school and going to their games. And obviously, I'm a huge Doug Bruno supporter and, you know, went to all his camps growing up. And so that was like a no-brainer. And then the other three, it was just I had a connection with the school. There are things outside of basketball that, you know, attracted me to those schools. But all in all, I wanted to be the best basketball player I could be and to be led by an extremely, I would say, fierce woman in who I wanted to be, and that's Pat Summitt. And, you know, it was just a great combination for me to be able to go to a school that you could play in front of 20,000 people night in and night out. And that's what I wanted to be a part of.
What was the importance of Pat Summitt in your life as a head coach? Because I know you're at the ESPYs and you have an award there. You were talking about her. I remember you walking off the floor, and I think ESPN was interviewing you. I think shortly after she passed away, and you had like this monstrous rebounding game. That was just amazing. What was the importance of Pat Summitt in your life?
You know, she means so, so much to me, and definitely as a basketball player. But I think every day I'm realizing more and more, it's so much more than basketball. It's really about her courage and her perseverance and her ability to take something that wasn't a big deal at the time, and that's women's sports, and fight for it. And to continue to believe in something that nobody else believed in. And, you know, I really remember her, obviously, when I'm on the basketball court, but every single day when I'm parenting my daughter and I'm telling her to do something or teaching her something or telling her a story. I mean, she's not far from my mind because she's had such an impact on the person that I am. And, you know, basketball is going to stop bouncing at some point in time, but, you know, she always preached about people and passion. And I really feel blessed that I've surrounded myself with that. And I've taken that advice and really paid attention because, you know, like careers, they last only so long, but the people you surround yourself with and how passionate you are about helping people, that's really what's going to last.
Catch Candace Parker. She's featured on Players Only on TNT alongside Chris Webber, Shaquille O'Neal, and Baron Davis for Tuesday night NBA game action on TNT. She joins me, Jonathan Hood, on the Under the Hood show. I want to find out what it means to you personally when fans and columnists consider you one of the most decorated basketball players of all time. I mean, how does that make you feel when you receive those accolades so often?
It means a lot to me. I think when you're a child, you set out to be the best that you can at something, mm-hmm. and to win as many awards and championships as possible. And so to really, you know, be able to experience the journey of that process, but also to remember, you know, to look back on things. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, I remember watching the 96 Olympics and wanting to be Cheryl Swoops and Lisa Leslie and Tina Thompson and Cynthia Cooper standing on that podium. And then to be able to say my daughter, you know, I won two Olympic gold medals, you know, and I've won a championship and things like that. So it really means a lot to me, just kind of that all the hard work that has, you know, from my family, from my coaches, from everybody that's been a part of my career has had a hand in that.
Well, do you remember the first basketball player that came to you and noticed how good your game was and it surprised you? Was it someone from college or someone from the pros that saw you and were like, wow, I really like your game?
That is a good question. The earliest I remember was probably Doug Bruno, honestly, from mm-hmm. DePaul. And I was at one of the Doug Bruno camps, and I was in seventh grade. And I was playing up with the high schoolers. And I remember, you know, I would go to the gym all the time with my dad. And, you know, my dad treated me like an athlete. I wasn't a girl. I wasn't a boy. I wasn't anything. I was just an athlete he was training. So we never really stopped to kind of, you know, take in if I was good or not. We just kind of worked. And so when I kind of went to this camp, this was really the first measuring stick of me against my peers. And I remember I got offered a scholarship at that camp from DePaul. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was really excited about it. And, you know, it was my first scholarship. And I'd been through the process with my brother of trying to pick a college. So that was, you know, definitely a dream come true for me. And, you know, my dad really challenged me to continue to work and to continue to get better and not to be satisfied.
Candace, I really need your help, and I hope that you can help our listeners with this regarding the WNBA, because I talked to Shanae Agumake about this. I've talked to a couple other people about this, but I'm thinking you could help us as far as the needed changes to the league and for the future of the league, because to me, I think that from a television standpoint, awareness and financial, for the next CBA, whenever that comes across, things have to change. Can you look at the WNBA and tell me some things that really you'd love to see for the future for the league?
Well, first of all, I think we have to put things in perspective. We're comparing our league against the NFL, against the NBA, that has been around for 60, 65 years. This is a young league. And with a young league, it comes young fans. And it comes a fan base that we have to identify. And I think first and foremost, identifying our fan base of who we're trying to attract and going from there and building that. I mean, you have generations now that are Boston Celtics fans because their great-grandfather was a Boston Celtics fan. My daughter, I con her into being a Bears fan because I am a Bears fan.
Right.
And so you have to kind of grow that relationship. And that starts with being out in the community. That starts with establishing a foundation, a faith. I mean, with social media nowadays, being able to really use that to tell stories. Because people pay attention to the NBA. But now the NBA has grown because, first of all, they don't wear helmets, so they're recognizable. And second of all, the NBA has grown because now – you fall in love with the storylines. Like, people were watching OKC play Golden State, not because they were trying to watch two great teams play against each other, because they wanted to see what Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, were they going to handshake before the game? So I think we have to grow those stories and tell those stories. And so for a period of time, you're fighting against people want to be outside in the summer. They don't want to be in the gyms in the summer. We disappear and go overseas for months on end after the season. So you're not really able to kind of grow with these people. So I do think that there is a place for the WNBA. I think we have to figure out our audience, and it's going to take time. I mean, you're not going to fix everything with one CBA.
Yeah. And financially, that's got to get better too, right? You got to get closer to a better agreement and for more money for the players. I'm all for that.
Yes, I am all for that as well, but I'm one of those people that's like, if you bring a problem, you got to bring a solution. And so we live in capitalism. That's America. There are no handouts. This is not 1972 where we're trying to fight for Title IX of federally funded universities. That's not what this is. This is a moneymaker. And so with that, who in a household buys things for the household? The woman. So the target audience should be women. And so it's going after that. It's getting women to support women's sports. And so that's what I think is the key. I mean, growing up as a women's basketball player, I didn't have the WNBA until I was 11 years old. But when I was 11, I started watching the WNBA. Now the problem is a lot of young girls that play basketball, they don't watch the WNBA. So there lies the problem. You grow up and you want to play in this league that you're not watching. So I think just targeting the audience and really going after that will help grow and make things better financially.
You know what's fascinating to me about just basketball, whether it's WNBA and the NBA, Candace, is just the culture of the league. It's one thing to watch games and see the ebb and flow of games, but what kind of hooks me is the culture, meaning the social media, the on the floor, the off the floor. It's not about the rumor innuendo as much as it is just the give and take between players on social media and the game. How interesting is that aspect of the game for you? Because to me, just like the NFL was for a long time, basketball is 12 months out of the year as far as storyline.
It is a huge impact. It's always on your brain. It's always at your fingertips. You know, in 1997, I think it was, when David Stern changed the NBA dress code, and then quickly, now all of a sudden, the dress code doesn't exist, or at least it's not enforced, because it's a storyline. We want to know what the players are wearing when they walk into the arena. We want to know what they're wearing when they're on the red carpet. It's things like that. And so I think social media has a place and has grown the game of basketball so much because you're able to get to know these players and know them far more than when they're just in between the lines. I mean, before, when you're watching Michael Jordan play, you barely knew who he was. You saw him in commercials and you saw him playing on the basketball court. But you didn't see him, you know, on Instagram or be able to follow his story. And so I think that's the reason why it's so big right now, is because, you know, you can fall in love with these players and really feel like you are on a personal level with them.
Candace, is there one thing that you'd want to do that you haven't accomplished yet? What is it that in your life that you've kind of looked at as a goal and said, at some point I want to do this?
Honestly, I believe one time. If you do things one time, it's not really a representation of – it could be by chance, if that makes sense. If you do it twice, it's really hard to fall on luck twice. If you do something twice, you're pretty damn good at it. And I want to win another championship. I want to win another WNBA championship because I think the first time it's great and, you know, I cemented my legacy and we won the championship and our team will be forever remembered and that's all well and good. But if you win twice, then now you're in the conversation. And so, you know, that's been my goal. And I think once you win one championship, you taste it. And it's like, it doesn't satisfy you. You want another one and another one and another one. And so that's kind of what I want to do. Obviously, off the court, I want to continue to be a champion of women in general, not just women's sports, but women equality and, you know, fighting for a better world in terms of what my daughter is going to come into, from the workplace to how she's treated, how she's viewed, things like that. So obviously got a lot of work to do, but got a lot of years hopefully to do it.
So you can catch Candace each week on NBA TV's Game Night Monday presentations leading into exciting slate of Monday night NBA games on the league's flagship network. We're up as we record this on Friday. It is a balmy 10 degrees. So I think I'm good now after being minus 30. I think we're good now. It's almost like summer.
Okay, well, I hate to brag, but in L.A. it's like 70 degrees. It's a little overcast, though, to my liking, but 70 degrees. I mean, now you know everybody comes out west, so that's the way it is. The West Coast is the best coast. Everybody's just now catching on.
Yes, yes, I'm starting to feel that way. I'm not going to be that. You know what? It's like on my block on the south side, right? That we get all these people that's retired, that's been in their homes for 40 years in the southeast side. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? When I get old, I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to be shoveling snow when I'm 60 and 70. I'm like, no, forget that. I think I'm going to go out west. I think that's the retirement home for me.
At least between October and April. I'm telling you, Chicago's the best city between April and October. But yes, the other months, I'm gonna pass on those
ones. By the way, I'm putting in my request now. Last name Hood, first name Jonathan, to be on the Candace Parker party when the All-Star game comes to Chicago, because I know you're gonna be holding something.
I'm
putting
it
in now.
It. I got you.
So
next
so
year when... we're gonna be shivering together for sure. It's gonna be cold.
Because I know there's gonna be a spot. I already know there's gonna be a Candace Parker party someplace. So I don't have to stand in line because I'm kind of a celebrity and kind of a big deal too. So
Hood
Jonathan Parker party. I'm in there.
For sure. You'll have a table. I got you.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you later. Stay warm.
You're listening to Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood.
Great conversation with Candace Parker with us here on the Under the Hood podcast. 2019, we're going to have some terrific guests for you. We got some great guests lined up. One of the things I really enjoy is just the conversations. You know, sometimes we can't get it all in on the radio show that I do weeknights at 7 p.m. Central Time on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So these long-form conversations are always great for our guests to come in and just kind of be relaxed and just kind of learn about friends and new friends I'm making, because I am going to cash in. Me and Sean Davis are going to cash in that opportunity for a party, because yes, the NBA All-Star weekend is coming to Chicago next year. So yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm going to make sure I get to the Candace Parker party for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. The executive producer of the Under the Hood podcast is Sean Davis. Don't forget to reach out to me on Twitter.com, TweetJHood, as well as on Facebook.com. Look for the Jonathan Hood podcast page. On Snapchat, SnapJHood, and also you can find me on Instagram, IGJHood. And of course, our Under the Hood podcast is brought to you by ID Plus Marketing Solutions. Call Fred. He needs a friend. 219-677-5800. 219-677-5800, and tell him Jonathan Hood sent you. And we will talk to you next time with another edition of the Under the Hood podcast right here